Well, I welcome the online family. I know I don't, sometimes I forget to greet you. We're having a beautiful day down here in South Florida. It is nice temperature. I don't know how it is where you are, but I pray that you are warm and cozy right now as you're joining us. So again, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word, the rich word that you have provided for us to read, Lord, whenever we can, whenever we want, whenever we're in need, whenever we want to know more about you. And Lord, I pray that your word would come alive in each one of us as it is shared today. I pray that it would inspire us, that it would catch our attention. And Father, that it would do a work in us, Lord, that we would be able to do that which your rich word tells us and instructs us. And I pray, Father, that every heart here today and those that are listening, Father, that would receive the word and walk on it. And Father, walk in it and perform it, Lord, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of it. And Father, I pray for your anointing right now upon every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, after spending 4 weeks talking about the works of the flesh and the attitudes of the flesh and pointing out a lot of things about the flesh, how wicked it is, really, and how hard it sometimes feels like to bring it into control, and though how many times we don't do anything about that flesh and it just takes over. Today I have been pressed by the Lord for a few weeks now on the aspect of deception. The New Testament talks a lot about, if you pay attention to how the New Testament is addressed to the church, there are a lot of warnings about deception. And just about every book warns us to be not deceived. And yet, we're sometimes very gullible. We're very easy to be deceived. I know there are a lot of people out there using media and electronic ways and scams just to deceive us. And that's part of the enemy's trick, you know. Eve said, the enemy deceived me in the garden. He started with her, and it's still going strong, trying to deceive all of us. You know, a good mechanic can get a car, look at it, hear it, get a feel of it, and know quickly if there is something wrong, and pretty much can tell what's wrong with it. I'm saying a good mechanic. There are some that are not good. There's some shade 3 mechanic that just want your money. But, there are some of us that have abilities in our areas of expertise. We can feel, we can hear, we can look and see that there is something out of kilter, out of not proper alignment. Godly discernment is becoming extremely sensitive in the spirit realm to learn to distinguish between truth and falsehood, between what is right and what is wrong. And boy, do we need that today. Because there are some things that are made to look so nice and so proper and so Christian, and yet they got deception in it. Solomon asked God to give him an understanding heart. In 1 Kings 3:9, this was Solomon's prayer to to the God who appeared to him and talked to him. And this is what he petitioned. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Therefore, give to your servant," that's to Solomon, "give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil." This was Solomon's desire when he got started. "For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" You know, my wife and I were always praying for wisdom. Every time we're going to meet with one of you or several of you, we ask for wisdom. We ask for the anointing, the counseling mantle, the insight, the wisdom. Because, you know, words are very powerful. And they can bring life or they can bring death. And we have to discern what good words are and what not so good or not timely, all these things. And my wife and I don't have what it takes. It takes the anointing of God flowing through us for us to be able to bring a due word in due time. So this is what Solomon was asking. I'm going to take this coat. I don't think it can preach or teach. So you're still okay. So Solomon asked that he would get wisdom and understanding so that he can discern between good and evil. And this is what God answered in verse 12 of that same chapter, 1 Kings 3, 12. God said to Solomon, "Behold, I have done according to your words." He answered his prayer. "See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." Of course, there was one better after. That was Jesus. So Solomon asked for wisdom and understanding to discern good and evil, and God said, "I grant it to you." And there was no man after him or before him that had the wisdom that he had and the understanding, and yet he fell into deception. Where does that leave us? We are prone to be deceived. And you know, God appeared to Solomon twice and told him not to go after other gods. And yet, he was deceived. He fell into sin. Pretty heavy duty. And God pronounced judgment upon Solomon and declared some judgment that he said, "I'm not going to do it while you're here, but after you're gone and your son takes over, I'm going to execute these things." They lost. Solomon was ruling the 12 tribes, and his son ended up just leading one out of the 12. Jesus spoke about the end time. And by the way, I want you to know we're living in the end times. In the book of Acts, it talks about the latter times, the end times. And so it started in the book of Acts, and we're still in it, and this age is about to be closed. So we better heed to the words of the Lord, because this age of man ruling on earth is about to be completed. Put it that way. So Jesus was talking in Matthew 24 about the end time. And he said in Matthew 24, verse 5, he said, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." We have heard, most of you, I'm assuming, have heard of stories of people that declare that they didn't need the Bible anymore, that they were receiving direct revelation from God, and they did some crazy things. Went to the mountains, went and drank poison Kool-Aid, did all kind of crazy evil things deceived many, and they were deceived themselves. And so Jesus warned us about that. And in verse 11, he said, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And if we don't watch it, we become part of that number. Now, the fact that Jesus says there, then many false prophets will rise up. I'm here to tell you that if there are false prophets, that means there are righteous prophets. So that makes it even more critical for us to be discerning and asking God, is this man, is this woman, is this representative of yours, is he a true prophet or is it a false one? Well, we need to learn to ask God and receive discernment for that. Now, if the wisest man in the world, apart from Jesus, was deceived, there's a good chance that we can also be deceived. And sad to say, we hear fairly regularly of people that once loved the Lord, serve Him, what seemed to be a fervent service, falling for some lie. And it just breaks our heart, knowing that they knew better and they allowed themselves to be deceived to the point of walking away from many good things of the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul is telling the Romans some warning here. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. In other words, don't be puffed up. Don't think that you can't be tricked, deceived. We have some knowledge, and we are called to walk in whatever knowledge we have acquired and God has given us. He will not require us to walk in a higher knowledge that we're able to. But he says, don't think more highly than you ought to think, based on the faith that you have been given. Deception is a sign of the last days. And it's very important that we learn to recognize when deception knocks at our door. As we saw, Jesus' words, Matthew 24:4, take heed that no one deceives you. In other words, it's your responsibility to make sure you got all the tools that you can use to check to whether whatever is you're in front of is truth or is it a deception. You know, of all the deceptions, probably the deadliest type of deception is self-deception. And you know, it's the least likely for us to discover on our own. Oh, I'm right. I know I'm right. That's what we say, don't we? I'm right, you're wrong. You know, when we are deceived by others, we are deceived against our will. But self-deception usually tends to believe a lie. We enjoy being in that type of a deception. We become our own enemy. We really surrender before the fight begins. And you know, we hear, you're deceived. And you say, you know, somebody mentions a type of deception. And we immediately think of so many people that you know are in that deception, but you don't look at yourself. Oh, I know so-and-so is in that problem. And yet, you're not looking at your heart. Remember what Jesus said about the guy that had something in his eye. He said, get the beam out of your eye before you go help that guy with a little thing in his eye. And so we're very quick to hear message of deception and say, oh, I know so-and-so, I know so-and-so. But we never look at ourselves. And we can be very self-deceived. The right question to ask ourselves is, when we hear some type of a deception, is to ask, have I fallen into that deception? Am I like that? Not so long ago, in our Wednesday night Bible study, we were looking at Ananias and Sapphira. I think it's chapter 5 of Book of Acts. Ananias and Sapphira attempted to deceive the church by lying. And their motive was to gain a good reputation. They wanted to look like a giving couple in the church. Because after all the others were getting the bright lights because they were giving with a good heart. And they wanted to do it, but for the wrong reason. They wanted to be known as givers when they were not. We have no business ever deceiving others by lying, by stretching the truth. Some of us like to stretch the truth to where it's not recognizable anymore. We have no business being false in our actions, in our attitudes, in our demeanor. You know, we come to church and we like to pretend that everything is fine when you know it's not. Not that you want to be a drama king or queen, you know, but, you know, when altar calls are made and you hear, you know, God is here to meet your need. Well, admit you got a need and come. Don't stay back there like a prune and say, yeah, somebody else will get it. I don't need it, when you're dying inside. That was for somebody. The Word of God, the Bible, is the plumb line of truth to measure everything against it. That is our code of conduct. That is our code of thinking, of behavior. We were born and raised in Catholicism. And, you know, I don't know about Catholicism anywhere else, but where we grew up, there was a lot of wrong doctrine. And we didn't know enough about the Word to recognize it. We're brought up in it, you know. You're taught, you know, from little that broccoli is good for you. You believe it after a while, you know. And you eat it. And it is good. But you don't know any better, so that's what you grow up with. And so we were brought up in the Catholic religion that where we were at. My mom was a devout Catholic. And so she wanted a priest in her house. There were four boys of us. I was the smallest. She worked on the first, and the first said no, and the second one no, and the third one no, and the fourth one was me. So she worked avidly to get me to become a priest. And at first, I was a good boy. I did everything right. I was an altar boy. I attended catechism, the teaching, the priest, and all of that. And then you get into the teens, you get to see girls, and you realize I won't be having girls if I become a priest. And I said, I don't think I want to go that route. Though I was a shy boy, I never had a girlfriend or anything. It was all platonic. So, you know, there were some really gross deception where we were raised. You know, even the Ten Commandments were changed. I You know, I learned a lot of things in the Catholic faith by memory. And the Ten Commandments were one of those things that you memorize. And it was interesting that I found out later that the second commandment in the Catholic Catechism was not what the Bible said. They took away the part of the images. And from little, we were bound down to images. We were lighting candles, putting flowers, praying to this saint, that saint, kneeling, doing sacrifices, doing special things. And you would hear the Ten Commandments, and nothing about images was mentioned. They took the Tenth Commandment and they split it in two to make it ten. Of course, because we were ignorant of what the Word said. We did what was wrong. And then we, as we grew up, I met my wife. We married. We started having children. And it dawned on us, you know, we have to teach them. Teach them to grow up and to be a God lover and all of that. But we didn't know our God, really. And so we started looking for God, for ourselves first, so that we can be good parents and teach them. And God, in his sovereign grace and mercy, led us to a church, to a minister who was able to minister to us and took some time to teach us the Word patiently. And after a few months, we saw the plan of God. We received Jesus as our personal Savior. We saw that we were dead in sins. And we received the Lord and we became born again. We started reading the Word, and boy, there was a heartfelt desire to know, because we have lived so long not knowing and just being tossed back and forth by the opinions of men. This is right. No, this is right. No, that is right. We said, what is the final authority? And thank God, one thing I give credit to in the Catholic Church, they taught me that the Bible was the Word of God. They didn't act like it because they took some parts out, but they said, this is the Word of God. So we fell in love with it. We started reading it. We saw all the things that we were doing that were wrong, and we just had to get rid of those habits. But now in this born-again church, there were some things that were quite not making full sense based on the Word. And we did Bible studies at night. My wife and I would look at scriptures, compare, hear this preacher say this and hear that preacher and teacher and all kinds of things, because we wanted to make sure that we were understanding right. And we couldn't go to our pastors because they were the leaders of the in the denomination. So we said, well, we see it in the Word. We're going to teach them. We're going to confront them, and we're going to straighten them out. And this part of the doctrine that is not right, we're going to show it to them by Scripture. And everybody will be happy. We'll continue praising the Lord, right? Well, it didn't quite work that way. I remember we made our, we put all our guns and bullets in a notebook, and we had all the scriptures to prove things that we saw wrong, that they were important, because it was part of the salvation message that they were preaching. In fact, what we saw wrong was they were declaring that in order for you to be fully saved, you had to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. And we saw the validity of being filled with the Spirit, with speaking in tongues, but we didn't see it necessary for salvation. It was something that God gives us when we are saved, not for us to be saved. And so we couldn't work together in the church to bring other people in, because the pastor was saying something and we would say something quite different. We could not agree. And so we want an agreement so that we can grow as a church. So we address the pastors. And we're not lying to you. We went there, they're locked up. They listened to all of our arguments and they were just, yep, 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 yep. And finally, when we got done, we figured, okay, they got it. They said, this is the way we believe. If you don't want to believe that way, there's the door. Our hearts broke. We love those. I mean, they were good Christians, but they were not willing to change their denominational belief that conflicted with what the Word had to say. And painfully and sadly, we left that day and we had to leave the church and the people that we grew up loving. We spent two years together. And, you know, our first family outside our blood, Christian family. And we got to love them, grow up together. And we had to leave because we had determined the Word is the final authority. No one man, even in the pulpit, would say. And that goes as a warning to you. I may say a lot of things, and I try to be pretty clear when I am quoting the Word and when I am giving my opinion. When I quote the Word and I try to display it all the time, you stick to the Word, and if I agree with it, then we can be in agreement. But if something doesn't make sense, you don't have to follow what I said. You follow what the Word says. And hopefully you'll be grateful enough to come to me nicely and correct me, instruct me, without striking me. I'm still teachable, believe me. I'm about to turn 69, and I'm going to college. So I am willing to learn. That's the way we all need to be. So this in our lives has shown how important the knowledge of the Word is. If we are ignorant of it, we can be deceived very easily, very quickly. Beware of doctrines of men that sound like the truth of the Word. We have all heard eloquent men speaking to us with things that have enough biblical words to make it palatable, but have some things there, have leaven in it. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. I was a teaching of the Pharisees, Jesus said. And we have to beware of the leaven of men that try to infiltrate through the Word of God and change meanings somehow. We get used to being fed digested spiritual food. I hope you're not that kind. I hope you're not the type of Christian that come from Sunday to Sunday, and during the week your Bible never is open. Your Bible app is never looked at. I fear that you will be deceived if you're not already there. And you think, well, you know, Sunday is the day of the Lord, I'll give it to Him. Actually, you give Him probably an hour or two, and then the rest is whatever you want to do. And today is Super Bowl. I'm going to watch Super Bowl. I can do that and take Christ with me. Amen. Or Him be with me and watch it together. We can. Oh, by the way, I'm going to make some points here today. And don't you throw Kool-Aid on me. This is Super Bowl night. I was supposed to bring a raincoat, but I didn't. So you can. All right. We saw that Jesus spoke of false prophets. False prophets and false people like that, they're after control. If you're a person who likes to be in control, beware. Because people who like to be in control, they tend to deceive. Well, some are bullies and they just press through. Others, they use deception. So there are going to be many false prophets out there that come and tell you a sweet lie and try to deceive you and manipulate you. Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. In other words, Christians can be deceived through signs and wonders. Do you remember that the word says that Satan can dress himself as an angel of light and do tricks and all that? Remember Pharaoh's magician? When Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, and Moses threw his rod and became a serpent, and Pharaoh's magicians threw the rods and they became serpents too. Magic trick. The enemy can do that. And he will use whatever method he can to deceive any one of us. And if we're not rooted and grounded, it's going to make his job easier. And you don't want to do that. What did Jesus say? You will know them by their fruits. We are called to be fruit inspectors. We're supposed to be inspecting the fruit of our brother and our sister, not to condemn them, but so that we're not deceived. And then if we can help them by us knowing the truth, then we will encourage them. You will know them by the fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. I haven't been there yet. So, we have to be looking at fruit. Some people say the right words, and yet they have their own agenda. And we have to be discerning enough to recognize truth if it's provided, but then watch out for the agendas behind it. Some people smile and they try to trick you while they're smiling to you. So you have to be aware spiritually. Jesus spoke about the truth and he said, sanctify them. When he was praying to the Father, part of his prayer was in John 17:17, sanctify them, the disciples, those that God had given them. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so this is the importance of knowing the word, being acquainted with it. You know, I have shared with you so many times before that when people are learning to recognize counterfeit money, they don't study counterfeit. They study the real bill. And so anything that doesn't look like the real bill, they know it's counterfeit. We don't have to know all the lies that the enemy throws at us. We need to know what truth God has given us. And then anything that doesn't look like that truth, then it must be a lie. And we can reject it. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You cannot keep what you don't know, right? You need to know them. And I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Not only does he give us the word, the truth, but he gives us another helper that he may abide with us forever. The Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He was talking about to the disciples at that time. If you're a Christian, if you have received Jesus in your heart, you have acknowledged that you were born as a sinner by nature, separated from God, and you came to realize that you have been away from God, and then you repented and invited Jesus to come into your heart, then you're not anymore part of the world. You have become a child of God. Jesus is your Savior. And so, when Jesus becomes your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and lives with you to show you truth, to help you to recognize truth. But sometimes we're born again, we get the Holy Spirit, and we put him in that room, and we close the door and say, you know, you can be there, but you can't see the other rooms in my heart, because those are mine. And Jesus becomes your Savior, but he never becomes your Lord. You don't submit fully to him because you got areas that you want to keep for yourself. Don't do that. The world cannot receive this Spirit of truth because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So, we need to be full of the Spirit of God, and we'll talk about that at some other point. We need to recognize that he's been living in us to teach us, to take us to all truth. And then the word says that we need to test the spirits. Test. 1 John chapter 4, the Apostle John wrote to us and said, "Beloved," that's you and I, "do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits." Now, who is the responsibility to carry that out? You and I. Test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Again, Jesus' words. We need to be discerning, and we cannot test if we don't have the right equipment or equipping. You know, I don't know if that's 110 or 220 in the plug in the wall, unless I have the right instrument. Because a shock is a shock. You can get shocked by 220 just as well as 110. So, but an equipment will tell me that's 220 or 110. Hebrews 5:14, very important scripture. You should memorize that and act on it. He says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age," as spiritually speaking. And it explains what full age is. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And in order for you to arrive at that place, you need to know the scriptures. You need to have read the word and recognize. You need to be familiar with it enough that when you hear something that opposes it, you say, I don't know where you came from, but that doesn't sound like the word. That is growing up and maturing in the Lord. One aspect of having discernment is the ability to think biblically about every area of our lives. It is a God-given, spirit-empowered ability to understand, to interpret, and to apply the truth of the word into our lives. Many of us we are what they call split personality. We have a personality for Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Well, maybe 10:30, and some of you 10:45, and then at 12 it's done, and then you take the other personality, and you are so different between the your personality during the week and the personality on Sunday morning that you may have split personality. It looks like. Listen, we need to be solid. If you think, you know, and I I try to give as much scripture as I can. But if you think that you can live throughout the whole week with just the scripture that you hear on Sunday, I'm telling you right now, that's not enough. Amen. You will never grow. You will always be drinking milk, depending on somebody to chew some meat so that you can get some juice into it. And you know, if I am not in tune with the Lord, I may say something that is wrong. And what would you, how you know? You don't know any better. You know, a baby, you give him a bottle, he doesn't question whether that is good food or bad. He just drinks it. We need to do better than a baby. No wonder you're spending so much in diapers. Where was I? Yeah. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Many of us are in a place where, I don't know if that was God or not. I got a thought, I got a feeling, I got a dream, I got a desire, but I don't know. It's time that you know. And the only way is to get into the Word. You see, we need to learn to hear our shepherd. And the only way to learn to hear your shepherd is to spend time with him. He is the living word. The words that are saying, Jesus said, the words that I say, they're spirit and they're life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Spend time with him in prayer and in the word. And we are just so distracted by the affairs of life that we say we don't have time. You know, we all have 24 hours a day, every one of us. And some of us are spending time in the Word because we choose to. You have to make a choice. It is you who makes the choice. Now, you don't have a choice about the consequences. And usually what happens is you get deceived when you don't spend time in the Word. All right, moving right along. I'm going to conclude. Woohoo! Make sure your ultimate love and loyalty is to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to His Word. That should be your number one loyalty. You know, it broke our hearts to leave a church that we love. You know, we started a building and I was so glad, you know, how I love construction. Oh, we were just putting blocks and just getting started. And that bomb blew. And I had to leave. We had to leave. Broke our hearts. We love them dearly. By the way, that happened many, many moons ago. And probably a year ago, they came. They live now in Tennessee. They came, we had a wonderful time of fellowship here, reminiscing, rejoicing in the things that the Lord has done in each one of our lives. We didn't touch those areas that were conflicting. So, you know, we do like the cows. You know how cows do? They go through the field, they pick the good grass, and they leave the weeds alone. You have to have sense enough to do that. I mean, we're all broken vessels. We all have quirks. We all have areas that are wrong, whether we want to admit it or not. And so, you know, we have to receive and accept one another, and we have to be enough adults spiritually that we can take the good and just put in the bad ass outside without stop loving you. You know, we still love you, you know, and we're as broken as you are. So it's not the vessel. We're honing on the truth, and we can receive that truth and walk in unity with it. So make your ultimate love and loyalty the word of the Lord and Christ. Priority number one should be, I want to know the heart of my Father. You know, I was adopted. I was a son of the devil. And Father God adopted me. I need to know him. I need to spend time with him to get to know him intimately. That should be priority in our life. Spend as much time in the Word and prayer as you can. You have to start somewhere. You know, it is said that you can master almost anything in this world if you spend 15 minutes a day long enough. Anything. That means you can get muscles if you work 15 minutes a day. You can get a habit and do 15 minutes a day practicing, and you will be a master, whatever, you know, baseball, tennis, ping pong, checkers, whatever. You do it 15 minutes a day long enough, you will master it. But we don't want to read 15 minutes. That's just too long. I'd rather read Facebook. I'd rather answer this joke. I'd rather forward this and laugh for 20 minutes or 30. I'd rather see this video. I'd rather see this dumb TV show with all of its commercials that makes a 1.5 hour, 3 hours long. And waste time in the tube. You're going to watch a game tonight, many of you. You're going to spend 3 hours watching where 1.5 hours is probably commercials. And then half of the 1.5 still left, they're talking about the strategy. So you're only probably watching 30 minutes of actual football action, but you spend 3 hours in it. Duh. And you don't have time for the word. Priorities. Practice discernment. And then follow through with proper biblical reaction to it. In other words, you know, let's discern whether this is of God or not. Yeah, pastor's saying some truth. He's saying some of the things that I don't like, but they sound like truth. But this area, he missed it. How could you? No, let's be nice. Pastor, I think you messed up in this point. Be nice. Don't throw tomatoes. Let's see. And let me end with this final scripture. Psalm 43, verse 3. The psalmist is saying, oh Lord, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. And I added, we don't want knowledge only. You know, Paul says, knowledge puffs our heads up. So we want those truths not only for us to know, but for them to lead me in action. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus has already come. So when the psalmist said, oh, send out your truth, your light and your truth, he's already done that. See, he answered what the psalmist asked. Jesus has come. The truth has come. We have the whole counsel of God in the Bible. And now let it bring me to your holy hill. Jesus fought deception with, it is written. The enemy wanted to deceive him so bad, and Jesus, 3 times he replies, it is written. Can we say the same? Do you know what is written? Or do you only know what somebody else told you. You need to find out for yourself. You need to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. So I pray that God begins to show you areas that you are being deceived and that you don't walk into a trap by believing some things that some unknown guy or gal has told you. Father, I thank you for being the way, the truth, and the life. I thank you that your spirit dwells within us as people that have been bought by the blood of Jesus, and that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Father, give us a hunger and a thirst for your word, a desire to know you better, to understand you better, so that our heartbeats are joined with yours in sync, in harmony, in unity, in oneness. And Lord, that we get to feel the way you feel, to think the way you think, to act the way you act, and to be drawn to you wherever you are. Lord, I pray for your people. I pray for each one of us, Lord, that we would begin to mature more and more, even as the end time approaches. Lord, I pray for your protection, your wisdom, and guidance to all of us as we delve into your word, as we deal with aspects day by day in the world. And Father, we are more and more conformed to the image of Christ. Father, I bless your people, and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name. You are dismissed. If anyone needs prayer, we'd be happy to pray with you. God bless.